Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody's really on here too much, so we're starting all over.
You are now entering the Ultimate Entrepreneur Experience, the I Am Unique podcast. We talk about business, lifestyle, fitness, health, and mindset. Everything that surrounds you being a successful business owner. Hosted by George Truly, Unique Wright, the DIY business coach. Teaching you about marketing and lifestyle. Let's get ready to make this money. Thank you for joining my podcast, and I appreciate you being here. Please like and share this podcast with everybody around.
All right, guys, I am Unique Wright, your DIY business coach. We are now live on Blog Talk Radio. We're going in this twice again, but it is okay because this is what happens when you're doing what you're doing by yourself. It's okay in the studio, you. So, talking about branding your business, making sure you brand your business to a Fortune 500. We're going to bring a brand specialist on, Brandon Alexander, on. He's a great brand specialist, been doing this for years, works with celebrities, works with everybody out there. But we want to talk about brand simplicity. So when you're building out your Fortune 500 company, you need to think about this whole process from the beginning. You need to scale big. You need to think simplicity. You need to think nice. So when you look at these Fortune 500 companies, you like, I'm Mac. You have Airbnb. You have eBay. You have Facebook, Yahoo, Amazon, GoDaddy. All of these companies have come out over the years, right? Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Their logos are simplistic. You know what their logos are. You know what it's saying. You know what site you're on when you see your little tab, right? Fiverr. When you see these little tabs come up, you know that this is what that logo is. You know what it's doing. And now it is being branded to be all over the world so that your business speaks for itself. So when you're thinking about branding your business, make sure your logo is simplistic. That is my biggest thing. Make sure your brand is simplistic. Make sure your marketing is simplistic. Because nobody reads all of that stuff. If you look at these big old corporations, they don't have all these clutter. They don't have all the pictures. They don't have all of that on their logo. They are on their business and their marketing side of it. They have a picture that tells a story. Then they have three to eight words to say what it needs to say. Then they say, this is how we're going to prompt your solution. They interrupt, engage, and interact with you, making sure that you understand what you are getting into and how they're going to solve your problem. And that is what you have to do. You have to know who your niche is. You have to know who you're going towards. You have to know who you're targeting. You have to know who you want as your customer, because everybody is not going to be your customer in this brand. You only need a couple thousand people to follow you and be part of your branding to be your customer. Your story. What is your story? Why is your story valid? Your story is always valid because it's telling you about who you are and where you're going and what you came from, and people respond to that. When you watch a movie, what do you watch? That little peak story line that tells you about the business. It tells you about who it is, where it's coming from, and where it's going. So those are the things that when you're building your business out, those are the things that you need to know and need to understand. You know, give me a high five, a heart, a like, anything out there. Like, subscribe, send this message to anybody who's ready to start their brand. I'm here to help them. So making sure you are building out your brand to be have the values that you want. When I built out I Am Unique Wright in the last 5 years, 10 years now, I have built this brand out. Why? I Am Unique Wright is a brand development. It is a marketing coaching software. it helps people understand how to be unique into their brand. The reason why I created my brand is so that I can teach other people that being unique, being different, being one of a kind is okay. You are allowed to be different. That is what you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be like anybody else out here in these streets. You're supposed to be unique. So I was blessed with having a name like that. But not everybody is. Some people's name is Sam. Some people's name is Bob. But that doesn't mean Sam or Bob can't be unique. They got a regular name, but they can't be different. So make sure when you're putting out your brand, when you're putting out your symbol, when you're putting out your ideas, that you're saying that you are a unique individual. You are a unique person. That's what you do. That is how you put everything out there, is that you are different. You're setting yourself apart from everybody else. Whatever your brand is, whatever your ideas are, it doesn't have to be anything different than anything else that's out there. Everybody, there's nothing you're creating new. Somebody has a lemonade. Minute Maid started the lemonade. Fast Coke started the lemonade. Now everybody has a lemonade. The little girl on the side got lemonade. Now everybody got put all the organic stuff in lemonade. You know, cakes. Everybody got a cake. Got a little Debbie cake, got a big Debbie cake. You got grandmama cake. You got Janie Mae's cake. You got a bunch of people who make cakes out there. That is great. Why doesn't everybody become billionaires? Because they give up and they don't know how to brand themselves. They're not allocated out here to brand themselves like this. So you have to make sure you're building your brand, your story, your stigma, everything upon who you are and what you are wanting to give to this public out here, to give your story. You want to tell your story. You want to live your brand. You want to be motivated to grow into who you are supposed to be. So that is what building your business into a Fortune 500 company. Understand that. But we're really going to start. We're really only going to focus on tonight about brand development. What should your brand look like and feel like when it's going out there? What should your brand say to the community? What should your brand feel and express to people that are out here in the streets? Like, every brand, like if we look at FedEx, they have that little arrow in it. You know, UPS, USPS, everybody has a different energy behind their brand. Airbnb is the A with the little thing, it means everybody is linked. You got Uber, which is like a little road detour, you know, up one block, down one block. They say it's a U, but it's really like a road map. You know what I mean? So did y'all really think about how y'all are going to make your brand sophisticated enough to be out there? I'm so winded. I'm so sorry, guys. I have not been up to feeling good this week. So this is taking all my little energy out of me, but I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And we're out here talking about your brands. So we're going to bring our brand strategist on, Brandon Alexander, on the show. We're going to talk to him about branding. We're going to talk to him about what good brands look like, what bad brands look like. What company colors should you have in your logo? Do anybody know that? If y'all look at my shirt, I'm giving you a hint. Two, max three, three to the most. Why? Because when you're trying to reprint your logo, trying to do different things with your logo should be able to be equivalent in one color. The thing is, if your logo can't say what it needs to say in one color, then why do you have a logo? It should be able to express the feelings. It should not have to have 50 million colors in your logo, in your brand, to express yourself. Just say what it needs to say. It should be able to look good in black, blue, purple, yellow, green. So if you want to change up your logo or do a facelift, or what if I start branding the blue and gray, and then after certain days or certain months that I don't like the blue and gray anymore? You know what I mean? So those are things that you have to take in consideration. All right. So why should your logo be simplistic? Because you want people to read it. All right. Then we're going to go into this because I know me and him are going to have a conversation. response. Most Fortune 500 companies, I think all Fortune 500 companies, have serif or sans serif font. When I say serif or sans serif font, so it's like the letter U in my logo right here with no lines on the outside. That's a sans serif font. Now, serif font has like those little things like Time Roman. Those are fonts that, you know, can be used in logos. Let's say, let me see who uses sans serif fonts. Usually most brands use serif because they're easier to read. I think bigger brands, like let's say Bank of America. Bank of America's logo is still sans serif font. Oh man, what logo? Most brands, most large brands use sans serif font. I'm trying to think of one that may. Wow. Now I'm thinking of like you, who has sans serif? Amazon has sans serif. Fiverr, Yahoo. Let's see, brand logos. Let me just Google that real quick for you guys because I'm very interested in that. I'm going to do Fortune. I'm having a hard time spelling Fortune 500 today. Fortune 500. Hi, this is working. You're going to be on here very soon. We're talking about sans serif and serif fonts right now. And which brands, actually, which Fortune 500 brands use a sans serif? Now, we're not even going to talk about scripts because none of them use a script. But let's talk, just chat it up with sans serif. The ones with the little lip, like the Time Roman front, that would be the one that most people use or know about. Facebook is a Forbes. All right, we got Forbes. Forbes is a has a serif font, but they're like a what do you call it? They're like a magazine, so that's a little different. But they're a big magazine. Now we get into magazines. There are a couple of magazines that use sans serif font. Let's look at the Four Seasons. Their Four Seasons logo. Let's see what branding. Where are they? In their brand. I'm just talking off the side of my head right now because I'm not, Four Seasons is a Fortune 500 company. They use sans serif. But they're a hotel, entertainment. Again, all about entertainment. So I guess between serif and sans serif. But there are no Fortune 500 companies, real large companies, that use script fonts. Most of them, those brands don't use a script font. The reason why, because you need to be able to be legible and be able, people to be able to read what you're saying when you are advertising your brand. And if you have some cursive font, they don't even teach cursive in school nowadays. Why would you want your logo to be in all of these cursive swirly fonts that I'm confused about what they mean? So those are big things that that are very interesting about fonts right now. So Brandon, you can come on whenever you like to. If you want to come on a little early, that's fine. He's on my Instagram page for all you Blog Talking YouTubers that are watching me right now. So watching him watch me, and we're talking about this. So a lot of that is about fonts. Symbols you want to use. A lot of big brands don't use symbols, but their symbols are very unique and different in their branding. So they want to make sure that you're using a symbol that represents what it does. So if you are a baking company, you know, maybe a little, I don't know, an oven, a cupcake, but that same imagery should be able to be used in a black and white setting. So if you have a cupcake or a little person on a cupcake, then you are then you are building out your brand on that side of it. So that is perfectly fine when you're building out that branding and that side, that imagery should be able to say a message. My brain is so cloudy right now. It just needs to say one thing. So then you have to understand when you're putting your logo, when you become a big brand, you want to be able to put it on shirts, t-shirts, and everything. We're not saying you can't put anything on a t-shirt. Anything is possible to put on a t-shirt, but you don't want it to be entertaining. You don't want it to be, you want people to understand what your brand is talking about instantly if it's on a polo shirt. Can you get your logo embroidered on a polo shirt and it looks good? So at the end of the day, the goal of this is to make sure that your brand, your idea, whatever you're putting out, speaks what you're saying, sends the message off to the clientele that you want to speak to, so that you can put those people up that you want. Making sure your color pattern has the meaning to it, making sure that you understand your color preferences and what it is. Like a lot, have you seen any large company use metallics? We're not even going to talk about gold, silver, and I want you to call in. Can you call in, on the podcast number I text you, or do you want to go live? It'd be easier, it'd be better audio if you just called in to the number. You can call in to 563-993-5562. 563-993-5562. Hold on a second. I'm going to send it to you on Instagram since I'm live. I texted to you earlier. Check your text messages for me. Ooh. Yeah, so we're about to bring him on. All right, I'm sending it to you a messenger right now. So it's being sent to you in Facebook and Instagram Messenger. Let me know if you got it. All right. So when he's about to come on in a few seconds, get logged in. And we're going to just talk about branding and marketing. Let him take over this conversation. And give it to him. So let's talk about marketing. He's going to talk about the branding side and marketing. Make sure that your business looks very simple. Your message... Make sure your message is very simple and it's saying a story. Make sure what you are saying to put yourself out there is saying a story. All right, he is in. Let's bring him on. Hello.
What's going on?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing excellent. Just out here on the Beltline finishing up my evening walk.
Nice. Yes, I did mine early today because I had these podcasts. So, yes, met this guy on the Beltline, talking to some very good people on underneath our shade tree. This is the kind of conversation you do when you are willing to talk and to meet new people. You gotta be social when you're a business owner. So, tell us about your brand.
So my name is Brandon, the Network King Alexander, a.k.a. Social Network King. I am the Chief Branding Officer for Experience Creative Agency, where we guide individuals, influencers, and organizations through the three phases of the brand launch process. So our mission is to introduce and educate our clients to the 18 steps that are involved in establishing brand identity, content creation, and launch and execution. Our vision is that the brands that we work with are able to impact, influence, and inspire at their maximum potential. So we help you thrive in your superpower.
That is awesome. I love. Now, when you say a pitch, now he's just in branding. So that's just his brand pitch. But marketing pitch 101, you love it. You got the high five.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. It took me a while to learn this. I'm not new to this, so you know.
I'm not saying you are, love. I'm not saying you are. I talk to business owners on this platform all day, every day, and a lot of them don't have that. They're like, "What, huh?" And that's the problem. You know what I mean? So being that that is your specialty and that's who you are, that I'm glad you came correct with the branding. It's a kudos. It's a thank you. Woohoo! So
I appreciate it.
Tell us about those 18 points.
Oh, those 18 points. So, like I said, you know, there's establishing brand identity. So with that comes discovering strategy, mindset clarity, brand clarity, IP protection, business development, and systems and automation. Phase two, which is content creation, that is content strategy, then copywriting, then media training, and then graphic design, then photo and video content, and then live stream production. Phase three, which is, launch and execution. So that is web development and design. Then you got SEO, you got campaign strategy first and foremost. And after you got campaign strategy, then you got web development and design. Then you got SEO and analytics. Then you got marketing. Then you got PR. And then you got events and activation.
Okay.
That's the list.
Yes, that is all you really need to be a million-dollar company. That's it.
That's right.
To make sure your messaging, the biggest part of that is making sure whatever you're doing, all of this stuff, and if you're listening and you're like, yeah, I already do all of that stuff, then the problem is your message is not correct. You're not saying enough to the people that need to be spoken to. So let's break that down. Let's start with like phase one, building out the brand. Like, what are some do's and don'ts for startup companies that they say or they have that, you know, won't set them up to be a Fortune 500 company? Like, what is the do's and don'ts?
Well, I mean, you know, I was just talking to somebody earlier on the Beltline about this, and I think I said this several times to several people today on several lives that I've been on. You know, the whole thing is with a lot of companies, when you start a business, you did not start out being a you didn't envision it to be, you know, some small side hustle. You envision it to be a all right, now y'all take care. You didn't envision it to be a small side hustle. You envisioned it to be amongst the Amazon, amongst the Uber, amongst the Tesla, you know what I'm saying, amongst the Facebook. So you're talking about those are 9-10-figure plus businesses. You can't envision your company being a 9-10-plus-figure organization and you have a 3-figure mindset.
Woo.
You know, that's the reality. You're talking about 9-10-plus-figures. And you want to be a 9-plus, 10-plus-figure organization. Even, we'll even say 7-figure organization. You want to be a 7-figure organization, but you got a 3-figure mindset. Mm. Like, my budget can't go past $500. Well, you ain't really serious about your business.
Right.
That's the first thing is the mindset. You really think that you can sit here and launch a million-dollar organization and not really put the money that you need to put into it, you're talking about building an organization. It's just like building a house.
Mm.
You build a house these days in Atlanta, a house that everybody is okay with living in, that's like it's stable, they start at $300,000.
Yep.
That everybody is just like, yeah, that's a nice house, that's a solid house or whatever, like I can live here. It may not be the biggest house, but it's definitely like one that's like, okay, nobody going to sit here and say that your house is trash. They start at $300,000.
Yep.
That's what they were. So that's the same with your business. I can promise you right now, going through them 18 steps, and this is not to scare anybody. This is just the reality. If you want to build a 9 to 10 plus figure organization, even a 7 figure organization, you're going to put a good $300,000 into that joint. You need to be prepared for that, mentally prepare yourself. So if you're sitting here talking about, oh, I'm only going to put $500 in, or if somebody give you, say that the video costs $1,500 or your content going to cost you $2,500 or whatever, or your IP protection as far as your trademarks, to trademark your business name, it's going to cost you like anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000. And you're like, well, what can I get for $200?
There you got it.
Nah. You need to go save up your coins and figure out how to get that. And it's
right.
Not to sit here and say, it's not to turn you away. It's just to give you a reality check of, like, do you really want this or do you not? Because the truth of the matter is, if you really want this, to build a business and build an organization that's sustainable, and has the option, because everybody don't necessarily want a 9-figure business, a 10-figure business, or beyond. Some people just want a six-figure business that yields them $100,000 a year. And a lot of people, that's the benchmark. Even with that, you're going to have to, the whole thing for us is, like, we want to give you the option, because you have the solid foundation. So you did what was necessary to actually build, the foundation of you put in place the foundation to scale your business to 9-10 figures if you want to. Everybody don't want that responsibility. But it's nice to have the option. Right now, just a generation ago, we didn't have an option like that. The information wasn't as accessible. So, yeah. So that's it. I guess that's a long story short. A lot of people, they want to skip skip a lot of these steps. They look at those 18 steps and they're like, that look like a lot of work. That look like a lot of money. I ain't got time for that. I just need this part over here. Oh, you think you just need this part over here. Oh, I just need the marketing. I don't need all that other stuff. We got all this. You don't really have what you think you got.
Right.
You think you got this marketing. You think all you need is this marketing over here, but your pitch sucks.
Exactly.
And your pitch is your foundation. Your pitch is your foundation. So it's like you can't sit here and, build no house on no rocky foundation, on no crack foundation. Again, this is your house. You about to be in your house and your business. You about to be there for the next 20, 30 years plus, possibly, correct?
That's the goal,
And even if you don't want your business that long, even if the goal is to build the business up and then sell it in the next 5 years, again, you can't sell anything with an unstable foundation.
Exactly. Yeah, that adjuster will knock you down and be like, no, ma'am, it's not going to work.
Yeah,
no, sir.
Exactly.
So, with that being said, you have 18 steps. I have technically up to 44 steps in marketing. So after we even get to your cash on what you're doing, whatever he charges, he's $10,000, $5,000, $20,000 to get you at least the stuff to start building your business. You still now have to spend more money in putting all of that great stuff that you put out there. I gave an example earlier as GoDaddy. Do you remember that first GoDaddy commercial that came out during the Super Bowl? Probably about 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Probably longer than that.
I can't.
Probably 15 years.
I can't say I did.
Because it was a Super Bowl commercial. That's the only reason why I remember it, because it was a Super Bowl commercial, and I was trying to figure out what is GoDaddy, because I didn't think it was an internet, you know, website, you know, marketing, developing, business, branding subject, because the name of it does not say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You and GoDaddy, I hear a porn site, just to be jokey, but... Or I hear when a relationship site on for GoDaddy, but now it is one of the largest brands out here to do domains and internet and websites and everything else. And their commercials are very simplistic and different. They were ones who came out with very different commercials out there when they first started coming out there. So. They spent a ton of money doing a Super Bowl brand of commercials. They spent a ton of money on marketing. So what I'm trying to say is to you is like when you're building out that brand and you're going into marketing, like you need to make sure it tells the stuff and says what it needs to say. Do you agree on that?
Absolutely. Like I said, it all goes back to the messaging. You can't get to... You know, you can't do the marketing. You can't do marketing and start talking about, hey, I'm gonna go on a press run, and you don't have a pitch. You know, when I ask people, a lot of times when you ask somebody what they do, they give you a title versus a clear, cohesive concept. You know, they just give you a title. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I can say, hey, I'm a brand strategist, but that's just like, you know, me and you live in Atlanta. So the truth of the matter is, living in Atlanta is like, how many of us have gotten approached by a music artist before?
Right.
You know, and they say, and they walk up to you and they say, hey, I'm a music artist, buy my music. And that don't entice you to actually buy their music. It's like, that's what you gotta stand out, because how many music artists are there? How many brand strategists are there? How many people that say they do marketing? How many people that say they're a videographer, you know, or whatever it is that you do specifically, whatever it is that you do, you know, it's not about saturation because there's plenty for everybody, but you still have to stand out.
Right.
There still has to be something about you that's unique, and you have to communicate that in your messaging and what you do. So if somebody asks you what you do and all you tell them and all you do is give them a title, then you've missed an opportunity to possibly get some business just there. Like, you lessen your chances. You run the risk of lessening your chances of, you know, being a, you know, of possibly getting that sale right then. You want to draw them in as much as you can right then. That's the whole purpose of an elevator pitch. The whole purpose of an elevator pitch is to excite and intrigue, you know, the person on the receiving end of that pitch. To be able to take action and say, tell me more.
Right.
They need to get excited about what you do. And even if they're not your ideal client, they know somebody who is, and they have no problems and are excited to say, I know somebody who needs your services or who needs your product.
Exactly.
And they sell you better than you could sell yourself to that person. They're a brand ambassador for you already because they're so excited just off the pitch that you gave. That's that's psychology right there.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. And that's the ultimate side of it. So making sure you have a great pitch. Well, the bottom line comes with knowing your business and knowing who you want your business to target. Well, you can say that pitch right there. And if somebody who's not on that level or not even ready to have the mental stability to handle it, they will actually like be like, okay, yep, I'm not ready for you. But like you said, they'll refer you to somebody else, or they'll be like, oh, when I'm ready, I'll be able to handle that. And I've learned that over the years in marketing. Just learning how to make sure you're saying the words that are putting your business, putting your ideology out there. And a lot of things that people don't know. So let's talk about just like the basics in marketing. Step one, I'm coming up with a name, with a brand. We only have a few more minutes, but I'm coming up with a name and a brand. Like, what are some do's and don'ts to that?
Like, coming up with a name and a brand.
Ooh. Yeah. What shouldn't it be? Like, and what are some don'ts? Let's say, just focus on don'ts. Like, why did you name your brand?
Ooh.
You name your brand? What is the story behind that, if that's easier?
So mine is, you know, I sat on my name for a good, I sat on my name for like 6-7 years, I want to say, before I actually started using it. And the whole thing, it just came to me because I think when people come up with long names, it's, you know, for their business, it takes too much. It's, you want less is more. Think about it. Again, Amazon, Uber, Tesla, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Those are one-word businesses. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really shouldn't be longer than, say, three words. Like, you really shouldn't. If I was to, in my opinion, you know, you can have an acronym or some things like that. You know, like, I got a friend who has one called Team Dope Dads. You know, Dope Dads is an acronym for, or Dope is an acronym for doing our part every day, you know. So he's got a lot, he's got meaning and symbolism in it, but he turned it into an acronym. So I think it's always less is more. You know, you got Nike, you got Adidas. If you look at all the big name companies that inspire us, you know, they all have like one word, maybe two words. Think of it this way. Even there's a big accounting firm, one of the big four, Ernst & Young. They actually, to be more modernized, they changed their brand. They did a rebranding, and they're still Ernst & Young, but they're known as EY.
Right.
That's what they're known as now, you know. So just to sit here and make it a little more modern, you say, hey, we've changed with the times. Because they want to be cool. They want to be in the know. They want to be relevant.
Right.
So, I think that's one of the things. I think experience for me, the reason why I call mine experience is because the brand is all about the experience, you know. But it wasn't something that just meant something to me. It meant something to, you know, it would resonate also with the client that I'm going after. You know, I'm talking about doing brand development, branding, you know. So with branding is all about the experience. You need to understand that. And if you hear it, it's like it's also something that everybody is saying right now, whether they're saying my name or not, you know, or that they're specifically referring to me. They're saying, yeah, it's about an experience. It's about an experience. I'm curating the experience. I'm creating an experience or whatever. What kind of experience are you giving the client, the customer, whatever? Experience, experience, experience. So I love the fact that my name is naturally in your mouth.
Right.
So, you know, it took something like that where it was just one day it just came, popped up, and I'm like, you know what? Experience is it. That's what I'm going to name it.
I love it.
So, yeah, yeah.
So, I'm going to ask you a question. So my brand is my marketing brand is I Am Unique, right? How do you feel about
mm-hmm.
that? Because we're more than one symbol, but I have other smaller brands, but my big brand is I Am Unique, right? And then I add marketing podcast, da da da. So what do you think about that?
So, I mean, having a personal brand is perfect. I mean, let's be real. Personal brand versus a business brand, very essential for entrepreneurs these days. You know, we're of the hip-hop generation, so it's very easy for me to relate to hip-hop. Jay-Z, for example, owns many different brands these days. I mean, you can't even name all the things that Jay-Z is, and he's venture capitalist. He's the board director of this and the board director of that and XYZ, but, you know, he was the owner of Rockefeller. That's the first thing that you mean. He was the owner of Rockefeller. Ludacris is the owner of DTP, and there, you know, and now we say, what is it? Jay-Z owns Roc Nation, but Roc Nation is his own brand, and Jay-Z personally is his own brand. So Roc Nation can operate without him. And under that, there's Roc Nation Sports, and there's Roc Nation something else, I forgot. But, you know, there's several different branches of brands up under that. But Jay-Z can operate separately from those, you know, because Roc Nation has nothing to do with the NFL. You know what I'm saying? And his stuff with the NFL. Roc Nation has nothing to do with, you know, the liquor brands that he owns. You know, Ludacris, yeah, when he does his music, it's DTP that gets cut the check, you know, and things of that nature. Or DTP cuts the check to the artist and all of those kinds of things. But when he does it, but when Luda does his music, I'm sure there's another LLC that is not synonymous with DTP. It's a LLC that personally goes to Ludacris himself, where he benefits that way specifically, and it has nothing to do with DTP.
Right.
So when he does one of them Fast and the Furious movies, it's one of those things. But why? Because Chris Ludacris Bridges, that's a personal brand. And that has, and because it's a personal brand, he can be as multidimensional in that realm, to where he can be a, you know, a musician, you know, an artist, an actor. He can be a businessman. He can be this, and all those things, and he can set that up, and he can move freely. But he can be the face and the brand ambassador of all the other brands, you know, and lanes that he's in. So having a personal brand is you know, it's essential these days to. You know, you want to be the face of your company. There's certain businesses that you don't want people to even know that you're involved in. But, you know, you definitely want to, you know, don't be shy or scared to be the face of your own company. The reason why you want to do that is because, at least starting out, it's your vision. It's your story. Nobody's going to tell your story the way you tell your story. So you have to, again, set the foundation, i.e. get that established pitch and that identify and really, like, lay the foundation super hard. Steve Jobs, for example, before he passed, he laid the foundation for Apple so hard that look at where it's at now. People are carrying on his legacy that aren't even related to him.
Right.
They're not related to him. They're carrying that thing on, and Apple is still going strong because he laid that foundation so solid. So solid. So you got to actually, you know, be okay with laying that foundation first. And if you want to step away, then you can, but you have to step away at a certain point after you've been ingrained the vision and you spoke up. People need to get behind. People these days, we like getting behind movement, you know. So the movement comes from, a lot of times it comes from your story. What caused you to create your business? You know, what's your personal story? What's your upbringing? It's all about relatability these days. So we're all needing to relate to somebody, right? So, like,
right.
For example, I'm born and raised here in Atlanta, okay? I'm 37. I'll be 38 on Sunday. I'm light-skinned. I'm bald. Thank you. I'm light-skinned, I'm light-skinned, I'm bald, I got light eyes, I'm single, as an unmarried with no kid, you know, I'm in a relationship, you know, we live together, with all the different kinds of things. I've been doing business for, you know, I've been doing branding and marketing for 18 years, I'm also a cinematographer, I'm also a photographer, you know, I like hip-hop, you know, I like watching Billions. All those different things, whatever. Those are little things. The reason why I give you all those details is because somebody relates to that.
Right.
Somebody relates to that. So if somebody relates to that, it's like, oh, that means, you know, he likes what I like. He's into what I'm into. He's from where I'm from. Oh, he has the same kind of lifestyle that I do. So he'll have that understanding of what I'm doing over here. So that way, you know, this, so I need to actually get with him because he understands where I'm coming from. So he'll actually understand this branding thing. He can actually help me out. He can speak my language.
Yep.
So you don't run from your story. You actually embrace your story, own your story unapologetically, you know, and 100% authentically. You own your story because your story is the inspiration to somebody else. It's part of your superpower.
I totally agree. That is awesome. That is great. So we're in the last 5 minutes of the show. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media or your website. If they want to do some work with you, how they can find you.
You can find me on all platforms at The Network King, TheNetworkKing. That's my personal brand. And then, of course, you can find me at Experience. You can find Experience on all platforms at XP, X is in Zebra. Not Zebra, I'm sorry. X is in Xylophone. And P as in Paul, R-E-N-C-E-L-L-C. XPRENCELLC at Experience LLC on all platforms. Go to our link tree and you'll find everything on there for that one. Linktree/networking, linktree/Experience LLC, and you'll see everything on there. In June, we got another strategy challenge coming up, a 30-day strategy challenge where, you know, we help you get your messaging correct. We're focusing on three things: your messaging, your content, and your visibility, so that you can maximize your revenue potential by getting that solid foundation that we were talking about. So look out for that. We're actually going to be in the next couple of days. I'm only taking 4 people for that, where I intimately work with you one-on-one, or not one-on-one, but once a mini, just a group of 4 people, but I also give you some one-on-one time. So you get about 40 hours with me for the month, so where we work on your strategy. And from a brand clarity from a brand clarity standpoint, from a content strategy standpoint, and a campaign strategy standpoint. So, that's how you can find me.
Are you charging or is this free?
We're charging. I think that strategy challenge is $550. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that strategy challenge is only $550, and you get some time. You get 40 hours with me. You're going to get, like, both that one-on-one time as well as that small intimate group time. Like I said, I'm only taking 4 people because I want to be able to really make that impact and work with you guys, you know, in a way that really makes a difference in your business, so that you can actually, like, go forth and have a solid foundation and start to make money with, you know, having a solid pitch, having, you know, knowing what kind of content you need to create, and, you know, being able to understand how to maximize your visibility. You know, when it comes to marketing, I know you know this, a lot of people think of just social media as their form of marketing these days. But I got a list of at least 40-plus different ways that you can market yourself and maximize your visibility.
Yeah, 40-plus.
And social media is just a handful of them.
Yep. Social media is just one.
Yeah.
To the 44.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
With that being said, we appreciate you going. Anybody needs some help with their marketing and branding, that $550, that's a good price, man. Y'all need to jump on that while he's taking people on at that price. And grow your business and get you down that pitch, because once you have that, that's like me talking about my marketing magnet, the unique selling position that you have. Once you have that pitch, that is your unique selling position. That is what you need to know,
mm-hmm.
marketing magnet, that will get you out there in front of people. That is what makes you click on that link and sign up. That right there
Definitely.
Is what makes people click on that link. Now, if they don't even buy from you, that is a lead that you can sell later from, or at least have their information to tell them about your brand. So getting that
mm-hmm.
pitch right, getting that right is awesome. So I appreciate talking to you tonight, and you have a great evening, okay?
You do the same. I appreciate you for having me. Thanks, Unique.
All right. You're welcome. Have a good day.
All right. You too.
Bye. So this is I Am Unique, right? Your DIY business coach. We're signing off in Studio U tonight. We just talked about a whole thing about marketing management, making sure you have your pitch, making sure your branding is right, making sure you have... that you need in your business. So get out here, get some help. You can do it by yourself, but why would you want to do it by yourself? Have somebody who can actually take you through the steps and put you where you need to be at a faster place. So I'm Amy Grant, your DIY business coach, signing off here in Studio U. Bye-bye.